Everybody, and welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. How the heck are you out there in the world, whatever the heck you're up to, what you're doing? What are you guys doing? Are you possibly driving? Are you eating? Are you on the toilet? Are you having a jog? It's very interesting. I'm very much a purist with podcasting, and I say, fuck the visual aid. You don't watch a podcast. You listen to the motherfucker. However, if you want to really put forth that cool visage and add a certain element to certain people's lives who don't understand what a podcast is really trying to be, which is something to enjoy while you're doing something else, you might have to put up a camera and film your scrawny ass with some sunglasses and a green screen. You guys feel me? This is J-Bo. This is the Shit Show with J-Bo. Let us commence. Now, I'll tell you what. I got a couple things to tell you guys about. Billie Eilish, I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about my trip to Florida. I had a crazy trip. I went to Florida for about 6 days, and here I am back. It went so quickly. In that span of time, I may have broken up with my girlfriend, or, let's be honest, she may have broken up with me. You know what I mean? It's just, codependency's a bitch. And if your girl can't stand you being out of town, and you like being out of town, nothing against her, but you need your little bit of freedom, that can be an issue, and that's kind of what happened. And then when you throw millennial hijinks in there, hijinks may not be the right word, but let's just say somebody who likes to text all the time and that's all they ever do, and talking is a chore, and they didn't grow up on talking like I did, like maybe you did, to your mom, to your best friend. I remember being like Christmas, you know, and like by 10 o'clock I was on the phone with my buddy Adam Gouch asking him what he got, and really just to brag about what I got, you know, because we didn't have a lot of money, but my mom always took Christmas fairly seriously, and we got some, like, we got more shit than most kids in our tax bracket or whatever would have gotten. You know what I mean? The two presents. Sorry, I had to have a drink of Diet Coke to cure my laryngitis and to wet my palate. My two greatest Christmas presents in memory, I think my greatest had to be a skateboard called the Vision Gator. And prior to getting the Vision Gator, I had a little deck called the Madrid. The Madrid wasn't cool, but it was like a beginner skateboarder, I guess. Actually, it was more along the lines of what people skate these days. It was smaller, probably better for kick flips. But back then, everybody skated vert ramps, right? Except for the kids in my neighborhood who couldn't really afford a vert ramp or knew how to build one or had any dads around to build one for us. We basically just watched all these dudes catch massive air on half pipes, right? Christian Hosoi, Rob Roskopf, Mike McGill, Lance Mountain, Mark Rogowski, a.k.a. Gator, Tony Hawk. Did I say Lance Mountain? Anyway, like, these guys were legends, man. And you'd like go to the surf station, and you'd go to the back room, and they'd have like the search for I can't remember, but what the name of the video was, but it was like the search for this Asian guy, and all these skaters in Japan like searching for this dude. It was the Powell Peralta crew. No, sorry, getting back to my Christmas present, it was a Vision Gator skateboard. That means it was designed by a guy named Gator. Either way, it was his signature board, Mark Gator Rogowski. He actually ended up going to prison for the rest of his life for killing his girlfriend years later. I guess he was kind of a crazy 80s fucker. Real smooth looking, partying with Downtown Julie Brown on MTV. but evidently just a crazy fucker. And there's a movie about it. Go on YouTube, find Mark Gator Rogalski, and it's a documentary. It's actually really sad, but you know, he was my favorite skater because a neighbor kid named Chris told me about him, and I kind of whatever Chris would tell me about, whether it was Vans, tennis shoes, or a Gator deck, I was all about it. So I would drive by the Sun and Surf shop. Actually, maybe that's not what it was called, but either way, it was on the way to the Bridge of the Lions in St. Augustine, Florida, every morning, and I would see this Vision Gator, and I would just covet it every fucking morning. I'd be like, I want that Vision Gator. And at some point, I got one. It was on Volano Beach. I was probably 10 years old, I bet. I bet you 10 years old. And I just, it was so magical. You know, in Florida, the Christmas is really magical if it's just, it doesn't take much for it to be magical, right? It just has to be a little nip to the air. And I remember just being like in love with this skateboard. And the air was so crisp. And, you know, Florida's so hot usually, but it was this beautiful Christmas day. And I got this Vision Gator. And it had, you know, great grip tape and side rails and a tailpiece and a nose piece and probably, you know, tracker trucks, you know, all the trimmings. It was like Thanksgiving dinner for skateboarders with all the trimmings, you know. Nothing cheap about it. It was amazing. That was my favorite Christmas present. It's green. It's a great design. It's like psychedelic, swirling, fucking awesome. Anyway, and then I got a Nintendo a couple years later, which was a great present too. That was really magical too. I got the Nintendo system in like 87 is probably 2-3 years after the skateboard. And you know, it came with the gun, it came with the robot, it came with the deck, but it's just totally iconic, you know. The robot was kind of weird. You could only play a game called Gyromite, and it would like hold this weight and like push down on the controller and play against you. Nobody fucked with really the gun or the robot. But I'll tell you what, if I would have kept those in a box, oh my God, they'd be worth so much money right now. It'd be crazy. Let's see how much an original Nintendo would be here online with gun and robot. I think it came with Mario Brothers and Gyromite and Duck Hunt. Yeah, Duck Hunt. I want to put this for sale. What do you guys say it is? How much you think it is? I'm going to say the original Nintendo in the packaging from back then is going for 10 grand. That's my guess, 10 grand. Let's see. Well, the robot's 67. Sorry, I'm a little distracted here, man. I might have somebody coming through the door. Hopefully they won't, but let's see. Let's see how much. Nintendo with gyros, Gyromite, and Game Box. Yeah. I can't find it, but I am seeing this robot for like $2,250. Okay. I'm seeing like $800. So not 10 grand, $800. You get some, you know, it's near complete. If you had a nice one, it'd be about a grand, probably. Whatever, man. Maybe I'm wrong, but it was fucking dope. It was magical, man. Everything's magical at that age. I ended up beating, what games did I beat? I love Metroid. I never beat Metroid. I could never fucking beat Mother Brain. But I knew the code to make Samus Aran the feminist hero, which was Christine Bailey was her name. You typed in Christine Bailey as a password. Man, I can't believe I remember that. And the helmet came off and Samus Aran was actually a woman, the hero of Metroid. But I did beat Super Mario 2, and I beat The Adventures of Link, which was Legend of Zelda 2. I was dedicated just a little bit. I wasn't super focused. I wasn't super OCD about video games, although I had some friends that were massively. Like my buddy Eric Dobbs, He'd come over and play for 10 hours straight and beat the fucking games. And at some point, he was so good, I just liked to watch him, and I'd be like the map man because it was ridiculous for me to even play around this dude. He was so good. Do you guys remember, like, your first video game system? Sega Genesis was also really cool. Anyway, Florida video games. Yeah, I went to Florida, and it was sick. I got sick, and I went there to kind of, like, stay in the loop and try to, I don't know, take the place of my dead mother a little bit while I was there, at least, as far as kindness and love and rationale and, like, I don't know, being too touchy-feely probably and whatever, and being like, at least that's what I would, like, kind of fancy myself. What would it be? Like, just being emotionally aware and sensitive and trying to get people together. Like, there was this issue with my stepdad and my adopted brother, Alec, who's a great kid. He's having trouble getting to work on time and shit like that. And that's a whole different story. He didn't pick me up from the airport. But anyway, like, I'm trying to, like, improve their relationship because my mom's gone now, you know? And they, like, barely talk to each other from what my stepdad said. Like, it's just a few words exchanged, you know? And it's like my little brother just sits in the back porch, sweating his ass off, smoking pot, watching bizarre-ass YouTube videos, like, shit that I would never even watch. Like, what was he watching? Like special mods for Grand Theft Auto? You know, special mods for, like, trunks and spoilers for Grand Theft Auto? Like, who would be interested in that? Like, he doesn't even play Grand Theft Auto, to my knowledge. Or maybe he fucking does. I actually don't know. He does have a pretty pimped out little room in there. But I'm trying to get them together, basically. I wanted to see my brother and his kids. I wanted to go see my great friend Eddie White, who I'm going to have him. I told you guys all about this. I'm going to have him on my podcast here, the TSS with J-Bo, the shit show with J-Bo. I'm going to interview him. He's just salt of the earth guy. And just an amazing painter. I bought a painting, and his show sold out. His name is James White, James Eddie White. You can look his stuff up online. He's stationed in Palatka. Sorry, that's where he lives. And I had a great time, but I got sick. And I think, I don't know, I might have passed my sickness to a couple people, which I feel bad about. But it's one of those situations you can't fucking help it. You get sick. You're so delirious you can't even cover for it. You can't take proper precautions because you're too out of it. You end up coughing on somebody. They're being kind to you. They're hanging out. And then you hear that they're sick for 3 days once you left. And that's kind of where I was. Although I bounced back the final night and had a bunch of drinks. Actually, I had like 2 beers. With my buddy Dave, and he's been on the show before. You guys know him as Dave. And we sang some karaoke, but my voice was shot from the cold. So I took a stab at the, what the fuck, not Genesis, but Phil Collins, Against All Odds, which you have to be a certain age to enjoy Against All Odds. And I'm kind of, I don't mean to laugh about it, I'm kind of going through like some real, what's new, right? Some storm and stress with my girlfriend. So that song made perfect sense. Like, I don't know, go listen to it. It's okay. Phil Collins, Against All Odds. You all know it. You've heard it before. But, and then I tried to sing Stone Temple Pilots' Interstate Love Song, which I guess was okay. It was fine. Some cute blonde girl gave me a fucking fist bump and like dug her ring into my fist. And whatever, that was cool. And Dave sang really well. He sang, it wasn't Love Potion number 9, no, it was Cracklin' Rosie by Neil Diamond. And it was Weezer, Hash Pipe by Weezer. Solid. It was solid, Dave. I know you're listening. Now this is where the story gets interesting. I know that was just a bunch of fluff, and I was really weeding out the non-fucking-real-deal motherfuckers. Like, you're still here after that weird, lame karaoke without visual aid story? Well, here we go. Buckle up. Because you're in for a bumpy ride. You're in for a hot ride. You're in for a ride, and you're going to talk to many people that you never would talk to in any other situation. And you might get sick doing it. but it's going to be worth it because of the story I'm about to tell you. So I get to Orlando, 9 o'clock in the morning. The night before, I told my brother Alec to pick me up at 9 o'clock or 9:30 at the latest. He said, no problem. But the thing is, he's in St. Augustine. I'm in Orlando when I land. It's like 2 hours at worst. Unless it's rush hour, it might be more. But yeah, at that time, you probably want to leave at 7 to get there by 9:30, right? So I get there and I ask him what the ETA was, and I was not feeling it. I was not feeling well. I was like, hadn't slept, fought with a girlfriend, and it was not a good morning. So I touch down. The first thing I do, turn my phone on. Because you know I always keep it in airplane mode because it's very important while the plane is going. And I call him. I said, what's your status, homeboy? I'm friendly at this point. He goes, I'm on the road. And I had a feeling he wasn't on the road, but whatever. And I found out later he wasn't actually on the road. I said, well, what's your ETA? And he goes, IDK 11? Like, that's what he says, IDK 11. It's like, you couldn't even be like, I'm really sorry I overslept, you know, whatever. He's just like straight up, you know, and whatever. I can appreciate that on some level. He didn't think about the consequences or like buttering me up or telling me, you know, how I fucked up and didn't wake up or whatever. But I saw that and I just got pissed, dude. I'm like, this guy, this motherfucker's fucking with me. I immediately went to, he's fucking with me. He's being snide. What the hell's going on? So I told him, in his moment of righteousness, I just made the decision, I don't want him coming to pick me up. Yeah, I'm going to fuck myself because I'm pissed that he slept in past the date, past the time he promised to grab me. And so I said, you know what, man? Go back to sleep. I said, go right back to sleep, Alec. I was like, don't bother coming to town, dude. I'll figure it out myself. He's like, I'm on the highway. I said, I don't give a shit where you are. You're being undependable, dude. My mom, my brother, my other brother, my buddies, they all got here within 10 or 15 minutes. You told me you'd be here. You're not be here. I don't want to see your face at the airport. I'm going to fuck myself. So I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. So I thought I might rent a car. That was my only plan. That was really my only play at the time. So I went to try to rent a car, and I was denied. I didn't have enough money on my credit card. I didn't actually have a physical copy of my debit card where all my money was, but I had the number, and they wouldn't take cash. So I was fucked, and I said, oh, man, Jesse, you just did it. You put yourself out here. You're 2 hours from home. How are you going to get home? And the one good thing about it is my mom, which would be the only person that really gave a shit that I was coming into town, she's gone. I had a couple people I theoretically could have called, but honestly, nobody jumped at the chance to fucking come grab me. So I was like, it's just going to put them all out. Fuck it. I'm going to deal with this myself. So I had a vision. I'm being a visionary. Vision is scary. I start a revolution polluting the airways. A rebel. Won't you let me rebel and bask in the fact that I get everyone kiss on my ass? Sorry, that's an Eminem song that I know from cover to cover without me. It's the only one. But I have dazzled people at karaoke with that cut. Anyway, I don't do it anymore, but there was a time. So my vision, sitting there, trying to rent a car, getting the runaround, getting so close, but the credit card not having quite enough money, my phone running out, I went and had lunch, and I thought about this. And my vision became clearer. And at some point, I go, well, that's what I have to do. I just have to get public transportation to Daytona Beach. It's like, you know, 45 minutes to an hour from here, I can probably make it. And from Daytona Beach, I'll be on A1A. I'll walk, and I'll fucking hitchhike. So that's what I set out to do. I literally just Googled in public transportation from Orlando Airport to Daytona Beach, and it told me the first thing to do. It was so brilliant, so easy. I said, well, Wheels are in motion. Wheels have begun to turn. Let's do this. Went outside 12:15. Got on a bus. Went to the Sunrail, which is this train that basically goes from Orlando to, I don't know, to all the suburbs. It's fucking awesome. Went right through from the airport, right through downtown Orlando, out to a place called DeBerry. I sat in DeBerry, and there was a convenience store there. I had one of those, like, really, like, strawberry, it looks like styrofoam strawberry, like, fucking milkshake cones or something. Not a cone, sort of like a, it's on a stick, and it's kind of fruity, but it's mostly dairy. Just because I needed something. The heat was killing me. I had some Gatorade. And I walked into this convenience store, and just, it was so Florida. It was so what I remember. There were people in, like, bare feet with the black, with the blackness on the bottom of their bare foot. It was just, the air condition hits you. It was gritty sand on the floor. There was, you know, liquor everywhere. People with fucked up teeth. Like, maybe she was a hooker, maybe not. I don't know. She'd probably be a hooker if I had $40, you know. I'm sorry. I'm giving myself away. That's a horrible way to think. But, you know, you just start thinking about people in a certain way in a certain area like this. But it was so Florida, and I just immediately got transported back to being like 9 years old and sneaking up to the Little Champ store and walking in and getting a slush puppy and not having shoes and the bottom of my feet being black or people with flip-flops. Or just grime and sand. Not grime so much, but just sand. It was nice, though. I enjoyed it. So, anyway, I had to kill some time at this station where the Sun train got off, and it was in a place called DeBerry. So I went to the convenience store a couple times. This gentleman approaches me. He called himself the number one doctor, and he seemed very intoxicated. And he had another beer on him. And at some point, we're talking, and he keeps looking at my bag. And so I'm, like, holding my fist around, clenched around the bag, and keep noticing that I'm clenching around the bag. Just, I don't know. Honestly, I don't think he could have ran anywhere, but I was just, I didn't, it was so hot, and there was this dude just sitting next to me, and he whips out this knife. It's like a 3 or 4 inch knife, and I'm just really clocking this knife, like, what's going on with that knife, bro? And after, like, him talking with me with a knife in his hand for, like, 5 minutes, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, actually, he, like, opens his beer very, you know, just the top with his knife and puts his knife back. I can't tell if he was fucking with me or not, but I eventually got up and got another beverage, and the number one doctor left, and I waited and got on another bus from the Sun train, and from the Sun train, it took me like 2 buses to get to Daytona Beach, packed ass buses, people I'm not used to seeing, tons of brown people, most of them were just white people that were tan, but I was just taking it all in. I was taking it all in. I haven't been in, like, the dirty South or whatever for so long. You know, the non-glamorous South. And so I ended up in Daytona Beach. And I took another bus from there down to North Ormond Beach. And it was a beautiful drive down the coast, but I knew it wasn't for long. As far as the ride goes, it's still beautiful, but I was going to have to walk. So I told him, let me off at your very last stop, which is close to my fucking house, which is, like, 45 miles away, close as I'm gonna get, and I just started walking, and there was nowhere to hitchhike. Like, I couldn't even get on the side of the road where the cars were. They were going my way because there was literally like 6 inches between the berm and the sand and the shrub which led to the beach and the road. So I'd, like, stick out my thumb. And if they could see my thumb, they practically had to swerve around my thumb, you know. But it was so beautiful. I hadn't been in Florida, and just the blue water was blowing me away in the sky and the cactus. It was just, I was really taking it in. It was just, it's really what I wanted. I really wanted and needed a fucking adventure, you know. And it was brilliant. And I didn't realize I'd probably, like, kind of get, you know, some kind of sunstroke or something. But either way, like, I think that's what got me sick, or I got sick on the bus, but I started feeling it a little bit into that walk, and I hitchhiked a little bit. But I hitchhiked one ride, so he gave me a ride about 4 miles. So by my estimation, I walked about 10 miles, like 3 or 4 hours, and I hitchhiked for like 5. And I ended up at this little restaurant called High Tides, Snack Jack or whatever, and it was like an oasis. I just walk in there. I was like, I hear rock and roll music, and I was so parched. I was so thirsty. And I had money on me. I was so thirsty. I was so hungry. I really hadn't eaten since like that morning at like 11 at the airport. It was like 7:45 at this point, probably. So I walk in, and the ocean air just hits me, and like I sit down, and I can see the ocean, and it was so beautiful, and people playing, and seagulls, and pelicans, and I just got a cheeseburger, man, and some fries, and a Coke, and just, man, that was it. I had my computer, I had my phone, I could charge it. Like, it was just a brilliant moment. And I was loving it, and you know, spent about $20 on a meal. I even got dessert because I was so famished. You know, I got some little Butterfinger pie or some, or no, Reese's peanut butter cup pie. So I was going for it, man. I was feeling good, asking people if they knew anybody going north because I needed a ride, but nobody was really down. I mean, people these days, I don't know, they're so insulated in their own little worlds. I think often that the notion of like giving somebody like, they'll help people out in certain ways, you know, maybe donations on the internet or whatever, posting for good things on their Facebook, you know, armchair politicians and all that. But sometimes when it comes to actually, let me adjust this mic a little bit, when it actually comes to helping somebody out and maybe being in the same car with them and giving them a ride somewhere, that's a little too close for comfort. I kind of get it. But then again, I don't look like a scumbag, or maybe I fucking do. Maybe that's the whole problem. But either way, nobody was having it. So I was like, well, I guess I got to hitchhike, man. But then I gave my brother a call, and I said, hey, dude, I'm up at this place. You know, could you come get me? And I did stick out my thumb because I didn't realize he was on his way. But evidently, he was like trying to make up for the morning, you know. And I he got there, and I gave him a big hug, and really good to see him, and we rode back, so, you know, to St. Augustine, and I got to my stepdad's place like 9:30 or 10, you know, and I don't know, that was the first day, and that was the adventure. That's kind of how I got sick, I think, but my vision, you know, you got to follow those things. It was the only vision I saw, you know. I was like, get to Daytona, hitchhike to St. Augustine, get to Daytona, hitchhike to St. Augustine. It just seemed simple, and it worked. You know, I fell 30 miles short, but still, you know, I could have hitchhiked. It would have taken me all fucking night, but whatever. So, yeah, Billie Eilish also, this is totally switching tracks here. When I was in Florida, I was listening to the song called Bad Guy, and you've probably all heard it. It's a super, famous song now. I don't think Billie Eilish is going to like make the cut long haul wise. I don't think she'll be around even in a year. It'll be one of those things, you know, that you look back fondly that a few people fucking loved, but by and large won't be remembered because it's a cool song, the one called Bad Guy, and it's like so candy pop, you know, and it's so like of the moment. It's so trendy, the way it's produced, and it's just for kids kind of, and it's cartoony, but I don't think she'll be around, and I hope she proves me wrong. But it's a great song, and it's kind of scary. And she's 17 years old. And she's like a scary person, like to me. I know she's not, but like her image is kind of like, she's spooky, you know? She got blue hair and these like pale blue eyes. And every picture, she's kind of just looking like she's over it, man. She's dead to the world, and she could give a fuck. And so I was listening very closely because I had a lot of time on my hands. I don't know, and I'm listening to the lyrics on this song, Bad Guy, and I don't know, it's like, so you're a tough guy, so here's the lyrics to this song, white shirt, now red, my bloody nose, sleeping, you're on your tippy toes, creeping around like no one knows, think you're so criminal, bruises on both my knees for you, don't say thank you or please, I do what I want when I'm wanting to. My soul, so cynical. And the chorus goes, so you're a tough guy, like it really rough guy, just can't get enough guy, your chest always so puffed guy, your chest always so puffed guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. Now, that line, I might seduce your dad type, was just like, what? What did the 17-year-old just say? I mean, I don't know. It seemed provocative. And in the mindset I was in, dealing with like the drama of the horrible texts my girlfriend was sending me and the lack of communication or love embedded in those texts, was just me going, like, cruising down the street on a fucking, scooter, going, what's this world coming to? Is this 17-year-old girl leading all these other girls? Has my girlfriend been listening to too much Billie Eilish? Did disco ruin my parents' relationship? And is this fucking hip-hop shit ruining my relationship? Oh my God. You know what I mean? This is all crushing through my head. And I had to stop listening to it. I mean, it was on repeat like 10 times. I had to stop listening to it. But Billie Eilish, trendy as hell right now. Just won Best New Artist for MTV. I hope she goes on forever. However, who cares? That song is really good. And if she's done nothing else, that's worth it. I've heard a few of her other songs. They're a little more singer-songwriter-y, ballady, which I didn't like. It was just like a young girl's, you know, in love with boys or hating boys or talking about their deep blue ocean eyes and shit. But Bad Guy is an interesting song. It's very provocative and kind of evil, especially coming out of the mouth of a 17-year-old girl. So I want to thank you guys for listening to The Shit Show with J-Bo. It's been great. I guess the takeaways from this are, go on an adventure. Don't be afraid of an adventure. What's the worst that could happen? You get sunburn, your nose gets red, and you get a cold. But other than that, you have a great fucking story you can tell that nobody else can tell. It goes, those kind of adventures, though, go along with being broke as fuck, kind of, and kind of non-connected. So, you know, if you're, like, not broke as fuck and connected, you have different styles of adventures. So, you know, it's all relative. But I guess whatever tax bracket you're in, choose your own adventure and fucking do something crazy that people will go, what the fuck? You're too old for that shit, you know? Go check out Billie Eilish, Bad Guy. Tell me what you think in the comments. And I don't know. Go take a fucking vacation. Go do your thing. Go have fun. Go kill it. And if you're in a weird relationship, really think about if you want to get back in that relationship. And if you do get back in that relationship, give it everything you got. Because we actually become better people, supposedly, according to Ben Shapiro. We become better people the more responsibility we take on. It's a very, very conservative thing to say. But maybe it's true. I wouldn't really know. I haven't taken on a lot of responsibility. But if I'm being honest, I'm fairly fucking miserable. At least lately I am. So that clouds my life as if that's how everything's always been. But maybe I'll come out of it. But everybody hurts, man. What else? I think that's it. Next week I'm going to have Eddie White on here, an amazing artist. And I'll take a picture of his fucking painting and put it up with my post. He's great. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to have you guys go out to Twitter and like Shit Show with J-Bo. Go to Facebook, look up Shit Show with J-Bo, throw me a like. My Facebook name is J Bonhamus T Baggins. Hit me with a friend request. Let's get to know each other. But most importantly, tell somebody about this podcast. Let's get this thing big. I might start doing some visuals pretty soon here. All right? I love you all for listening. We will talk soon. And that's another one for the books. See ya.